Great. Awesome. Well, as a parent, how many parents in the room? Raise your hands. As a parent, let me talk to you. At some point, you have either already experienced or you will experience one or all of the following. Your child being cranky and tired. Your child not wanting to share their toys. Your child having a hard time getting up and getting ready to go to school. You have experienced or you will experience your child struggling to get an assignment complete on time because they just don't understand what's going on. You will or maybe have experienced your child being teased at school by others. Or maybe your child having to sit on the bench on their sports team. Some have and some will experience your child, your children, your kids that you love not getting invited to the birthday party. You have experienced or will experience your kids at the center of some teenage drama. Someday you'll experience your kids probably struggling with some doubts about their own faith. Or maybe having to walk with your kids through some other struggle, physical struggle or mental health struggle. Someday you will experience, if you haven't already, many of those scenarios, just to name a few. And in those days when your kids face difficulty, and they will, some of them already have, it won't matter how many points they have scored. It won't matter how often they have sat in the first chair, how popular they are, how many times they've visited the Magic Kingdom. It really won't matter if they have all of the name brand fashions and have all of the latest really cool high-tech gadgets. See, when your kids, when they face a hard, fallen, often cruel world, the one thing that they will want to know is the one thing that will matter most in those moments in their life, and that's simply this: how to have a personal faith in a living God. A God who loves them, a God who created them, and a God who has a purpose for their lives. They will want to know about this God who, in the most significant ways throughout their lives, is being displayed to them on a daily basis by you, Mom and Dad. We're in the third week of a series called The Parent Influencer. And it's the premise of it is really basically three big questions. And if you haven't been with us over the last couple of weeks, here are the questions. We're asking these three questions as parents. What am I doing to enhance my relationship with my child? We talked about that last week. What am I doing to advance my child's relationship with God? That's today. And then next week, what am I doing to influence my child's relationship with those outside of the home? If I can get you to focus on these three questions through all of the seasons of your child's life, I think it can make a huge difference in their trajectory. I think it'll make a difference that'll last a lifetime. And remember how we introduced those dials, those relational dials, right? That as parents, we still have the opportunity while our kids are young to control the dials. You won't always be able to control the dials, but right now you can. And you can dial up and dial down your relationship with your kids. You can dial up or dial down their relationship with God. You can dial up and dial down the influence of outsiders on your kids' life. And again, today we're going to focus in on what are you doing to turn up the dial when it comes to their relationship with God. Because at the end of the day, as parents, we are responsible for their spiritual well-being. Full stop. We are responsible for their spiritual well-being. Anybody ever lose their kid in a, you know, in a park or at a shopping mall? Anybody ever have that experience? You're like, I'm not going to raise my hand. Even if I did, I'm not going to tell you, man. You're coming after us today. I promise I'm not. But I just want us to imagine for a minute that you're visiting a large mall. Maybe it's at Christmas time. I don't know. But there's crowds. There used to be crowds at malls. Remember those days? And everybody's pushing and shoving, and you've got your child, you've got little Susie by the hand, and you take her into a department store, and you notice the 50% off rack, right? Because we all notice the 50% off rack, and we make our way to it, right? Little Susie, though, in the meantime, she lets go of your hand, but you're so excited. 50% off, right? And so you go through the racks and you just find the right outfit that you want to buy for your mom or your sister or somebody. And then all of a sudden you realize, you look around and you notice that Susie isn't holding your hand anymore. And your heart skips a beat. You begin to frantically call out her name, Susie, Susie. And you stop and you ask people if they've seen your precious daughter. And everybody says no. So you go to the cashier and you ask for them to call for her over the loudspeaker, and you hear her name being called over the loudspeaker. And by this time, your heart really is racing. As a matter of fact, your eyes begin to fill up with tears as you go back to news reports that you've seen about childhood abduction over the last several days. And in your mind, you start going over again and again and again, why did you let this happen? Why did you let go of her hand? Where could she be? Then, suddenly, she turns a corner, holding the hand of a security guard who found her in the toy section, looking at stuffed animals. And you embrace her, you hug her. The fear turns to joy, and you pause to say a prayer, thanking God for your daughter's safety. Now, why would you be concerned in that moment? And the answer is obvious, right? She is your daughter, and physically, her life was in jeopardy, and you knew that you were responsible, right, for her physical well-being. Imagine what we would think of a parent who in that same scenario responded by saying something like this. She'll figure it out on her own and find her way home sooner or later. Or they would say something like this. Well, I've never looked for a lost child before, and I have no skills in that area. So I'll just wait for the experts to show up so they can find her. Or, well, she is a free person. She needs to understand responsibility in life, so I'm just gonna let her sort it all out on her own. We would call that parent crazy in that instance, and they would be. And they would be. See, the bottom line is we understand that I am responsible and I will do whatever it takes to keep her safe. We will do whatever it takes to keep our kids safe. Now, I said all of that to turn this corner. It's the same logic and reasoning that I want, I beg, I plead with you this morning to use as you think not about their physical well-being, but about their spiritual well-being and their spiritual formation and how you go about discipling your own children. I mean, what would it look like in your home if you use the same emotion and energy and effort that we know we would exert if something jeopardized them physically, if we use that same approach when it comes to their spiritual formation? That same passion, that same intensity, that same focus. See, if I could have a conversation with all of you as parents, those of you that are parents today, and I ask you, what do you think about your kids' relationship with God? What do you think about your kids' relationship with God? You would have an answer, and the answers might be a little varied. Some of you might say, well, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And there are some parents who, when it comes to their kids' relationship with God, maybe not through their words, but really through their actions, have said, it doesn't matter. But that's not any of you, because you're here. Others might say, well, it's a good thing. My kids' relationship with God, it's a good thing. Kind of like, you know, taking, you know, dance classes is a good thing. You know, learning to play the piano is a good thing. Learning how to throw a baseball, right? Kick a soccer ball. It's a good thing. That every kid needs a little bit of God in their life. So their relationship with God, it's a good thing. Others might say, well, it should be a priority. And now we're moving in a better direction. That my kids' relationship with God should be a priority, among other things, like their health is a priority, like their grades are a priority, like their future is a priority, that the success in life is a priority. Well, their relationship with God should be a priority. And again, some of us are at a place where we've categorized all of the things that we think are important for our kids, and their faith is one of them. But it's one among many priorities. This morning, I want to challenge you. Again, I want to beg with you. I want to plead with you. If I could, I would get down on my knees and beg you to get to a new place as parents. Far beyond saying that it doesn't matter or that it's a good thing or that it should be a priority, I want you to get to the point as a parent where you believe that when it comes to your relationship, your kid's relationship with God, that it is the most important thing. It is the most important thing. We all have to be convinced of that, parents, that nothing is more important. And that you come to this place in your life where you say, if I don't get anything else right as a parent, I'm not going to miss this one. I may not give them all of the things that they want. I may not get them to every experience that they desire. I might miss the mark when it comes to helping them with their homework. But I am not going to under-prioritize, undervalue their relationship with God. I'm not going to do it. Because we have to remember, and we've said this, and we'll keep saying this, there is nobody with more potential to influence our kids toward God than you. Nobody has more potential to move them toward God than you do as a parent. I want us to read a familiar passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is my go-to passage on parenting because I think this is the Bible's go-to passage. This reaches way back in the Old Testament when God was given parents in Israel instructions for how to raise their children to know and follow Yahweh, to know and follow God. And if you've been at Zion any number of years, you've heard this. I'm not going to preach through this, but I want us to read this together. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God's instructions to parents was this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Again, it starts with parents. We'll get to that a little bit later. And these words, the scriptures, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Again, starts with the parents. You have to model it. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." God was saying to parents back then, and he says the same thing to us today, you must prioritize teaching your children. And inside of that, I think that there are four strategic times in each and every day that you can utilize to help build faith into your kids. Did you see it? He says, verse 7, right? You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. When's a good time to sit in your house? What do we call that often? Dinner time, right? Dinner time. And when you walk by the way, we don't walk by the way anymore. We do something else. We drive. So there's dinner time. There's drive time. And then when you rise up, morning time. And when you lie down, bedtime. And if you're a parent, one of the first things that you can begin to do is you can look at those moments each and every day when they wake up, when you drive in the car with them, when you have dinner with them, and when you put them to bed as strategic opportunities to build faith into their life. And we can talk about that at another time, and hopefully we'll get a chance to do that, because there are different hats that you wear at each of those different points of the day that differ from others. You, in the morning time, you're much more of an encourager than you are a counselor, right? Versus bedtime, you can kind of take on that role of counselor. How was your day? What was going on, right? Drive time, it can be more of a coach, right? And again, well, we can get into that another time. But again, that's where we have to understand that nobody has the potential to influence how our kids see God than we do. And that is both frightening and exciting, because your kids will have a picture of who God is based on their relationship with you. So that's why we have to turn up the God dial. But turning up the God dial happens as we turn up the us dial. You can't separate the two. That's why, again, in these instructions from Deuteronomy, it's when you sit down, you're with them. When they rise up, you're with them. When you walk along the way, when you're in your car, you're with them. When you lie down, you're with them. You have to dial you up in their life if you're going to dial God up in their life. You will be a spiritual influence, parents, one way or another. The truth is, they're going to develop their view of God based on what they see in you. And I think that if we boil it down, I think there are two things that every day that parents show their kids. And they can show them this in a positive way or in a negative way. We can do this proactively or reactively. We can do this on purpose or we can do this on accident. And there are two things that we show our kids every day. Number one is this: the nature and character of God. Every single day, in some small but very real way, you are showing your kids what God is like. You're showing him or showing them and answering the question that we all have about God: is he loving or is he distant? By how you interact with them, you're answering the question: is God authoritative or is he an authoritarian, a dictator? You show that by how you parent, by how you engage them each and every day. Every day, they're getting a little bit more of a picture of who they perceive God to be based on how you interact with them. That's scary, and it's also exciting because you have a part to play. They learn about the nature and character of God through you. And then they also learn every day how to live out their faith. How to live out their faith. Again, scary or exciting, that's up to you. So you can't put anything, get anything by kids. Kids see and observe everything. When my kids were younger, right, they would point out discrepancies in my life. right? They still don't let me forget about the first time they heard me say a bad word when coffee spilled on my lap while we're traveling. They don't miss a thing, right? You've heard the old saying, right? You can con a con, you can fool a fool, but you can't kid a kid. They are truth detectors. They are hypocrite detectors. They see it all. And so the fact that they're watching you to learn how to live out their faith is something that you and I as parents must take very seriously. Because the statistics say, and this is, I want to share this with you, but I want you to hear this. It's important. Statistics say that a kid has a better chance of developing a dynamic relationship with God when they have parents with no faith whatsoever than parents who are inconsistent and mediocre and casual about their faith. And some of your lives give testimony to that. You have a relationship with Christ today in spite of the fact that your parents wanted nothing to do with God, modeled nothing at all about faith, right? It was easier for you to come to faith than for those who maybe grew up in a home where mom and dad, they just kind of attended when they could, and they talked about God, but it really didn't transform their life. It didn't really change them. It was just more cultural. It was more casual. It was kind of a take it or leave it approach to faith. It was just like one of among many things that they did in life, right? And if that's where you are, I'm not telling you to abandon your faith. I'm just telling you that your kids, if they see you living a casual, again, mediocre, inconsistent faith, it's going to have a net negative effect on them eventually. It just will. The same study says this, that your kid's best chance at a lifelong dynamic faith is to grow up in a home where mom and dad's faith is alive and real and making a difference for them. And mom and dad are taking time to be intentional about building maturity into their lives. So again, all of us grew up in different types of homes, and some of you grew up in like red hot homes for Christ. You think about your parents and you think they modeled what it looked like to be all in with the gospel. And it made a difference. Others of you, you know, grew up in a home where, again, it was mediocre, it was shallow, it was surfacey. And if today you're leaning into your faith, you're an outlier. That there was something that in God's grace that he was able to work in you to convince you that in spite of what you saw in your home growing up, that it was worth it to be all in when it comes to your faith. And praise God for that. Give him glory for it. I'm just saying, if you want your kids to have a dynamic walk with Jesus, the best shot for that to happen is for you to have a dynamic walk with Jesus. And that you cannot get around that. And again, so some of us, we might have to unlearn some things and relearn some things so that we can turn the dial in the right direction. You know, at Zion, we want you as parents to have the most significant influence in your kids' life when it comes to their spiritual growth, because in reality, you do. Years ago, we used to talk about the drop and run model, that for a lot of parents who were coming to church, that the mindset was, if I can just get them to church, get them into their Sunday school class, drop them off and run in the other direction, I'll just leave it up to their teacher to disciple them, to train them, to teach them. And then if when they grow up, they walk away from the faith, I'll have an out. Well, I took them to church. I dropped them off every Sunday. What happened? What happened is they saw something different in you than what they saw when they came to church. See, the church, it's like a highlighter. that we view our role as a congregation when it comes to kids as a highlighter. We should just be highlighting for them on a weekly basis what they're hearing from you on a daily basis. That's it. We just highlight it. We just say, yep, what your mom and dad or what your mom is teaching you during the week is true, and you should pay attention to it, right? We just highlight what they're already hearing. That's our mindset. If you don't like that illustration, then let's get onto the volleyball court. We're the setters. We can serve to set you up as parents so that you can drive home truth every single week. It's one of the reasons why we send home take-home pages and one of the reasons why we put questions out for you to talk about. It's like we want to be spiritual setters for you, but you've got to come behind and do the work with them during the week. And that takes time and that takes energy and that takes intentionality and it takes a plan, but you can't get around it. And maybe you're here and you feel like, I just can't do that. You don't feel equipped. You yourself don't feel mature enough to build into your kids. And so you just bring them to church. And I'm glad that you're doing that. Keep doing that. Don't not do that, but keep doing that. And if nothing, do that. But then do more. Right? Some of you think, well, it's taken me so much time to grow and to become mature in my faith, let alone think about the faith of my kids. And here's all I would tell you. Just start where you're at and then grow from there. Grow yourself first, yes. Just like we hear every time we get on an airplane, right? And they talk about the oxygen mask. Should the cabin lose pressure? Your oxygen mask will drop. And if you've got kids, put your mask on first and get the air flowing and then help your child. And there is a truth to that, right? Like you've got to be growing yourself. And if nothing else, as you grow, just talk about what you're learning with your kids. Just talk about what God is teaching you. Make that a habit. But there's a problem with that. If you aren't growing, you'll have nothing to talk about. And that might be one of the reasons why you don't talk about Jesus in your home on a consistent basis. That he's not part of the regular rhythm in your mornings, during your drive time, at dinner time, at bedtime. It's because you know nothing of which you're trying to speak of because you yourself aren't growing. And I'm pleading with you, parents, we have to be out in front. We have to be growing if we're going to influence them toward Christ. See, it's not about being a spiritual giant, but it is about assuming responsibility. You have to assume responsibility. It's my job. It's not the church's. So with that said, let me just go ahead and give you a few more questions that are specifically related to this idea of advancing my kids' relationship with God. Three questions that I think you can begin to ask yourself and try to answer no matter where your kids are at in the journey and as you progress through all of the different seasons of your kids' lives. Question number one is this: who do I want them to become? Who do I want them to become? What is the vision? Do you have a picture of it, of the kind of person that you want them to be? I mean, we all think in pictures. So begin with the end in mind as they walk across the stage on graduation day. What kind of person do you want them to be? And don't define it in terms of performance or accomplishments. Define it in the terms of relationships. What does it look like? And it's spiritually, their relationship with God is way more than just memorizing verses and getting badges and buttons or having all the books of the Bible memorized. It should be about more than the fact that they don't use bad language and they only listen to worship music. It's more than just taking a pledge to purity. I mean, what do you want their relationship to God, with God, to look like? Think about it and then begin teaching and training and investing in that direction. There's a passage of scripture in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, and it's a very familiar passage that I think if you're trying to look for a picture, a model, something to kind of put into the into the secret sauce of what you do with your kids, some of the ingredients that might help you answer the question, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 might be helpful. Let me just read it to you, and you're familiar with it. The proverb writer says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." Familiar. A lot of you have committed it to memory. But I just wanted to break down this verse piece by piece and give you some thoughts as parents. The first word is the word trust. All right, go to that next slide there. We have that word highlighted, I believe. Trust. Look, I hope for you, you want their hope in this world to be tied to their trust in their Creator, in a Father who loves them unconditionally. And as a parent, you want to turn the dial and get them to know what that means. And the best way to do that is you talk about it early and often. How many of you have kids old enough to jump off of a rock into your arms? Or young enough to, right? They get up on a big rock, okay, jump to dad. I remember doing that in Cook Forest with my kids, right? Fun, great, simple, right? They have to trust their dad, trust their mom, that they would catch them. Well, listen, in that moment, take it a step further and have a two-minute conversation about being able to trust God because he loves them and he will catch them and he's always there, right? But I wanted my kids to know that they could trust God, that he is a good father in heaven, right? Who's there for them. Teach your kids to trust God. How do you do it? You got to figure that out. Then the word heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How's your heart? That's a question you should ask your kids often. And if you're asking just for advice, I think bedtime is the best time to ask that question. If you have a nice time where you tuck your kids in, have spent a few minutes with them as they're growing up, it's a great time to say, hey, how's your heart today? Did anything today make you sad? Did anything today make you mad? Did anything today make you laugh or bring you happiness? The proverb writer talks about guarding our hearts. And as parents, we have a responsibility to guard their hearts as they're maturing to the point where they can guard their own heart. And one of the best ways to do it is to talk about it. Hey, what's going on inside of you? Again, we'll use how are you feeling right now, and that's fine. But what you're really asking is, what's in your heart? What's going on inside of you? I want their hearts to be happy, or to be healthy, not always happy. I want them to be healthy. That in spite of the issues that they may face and will face, right, that their heart is secured in Christ. And I want them to be able to say that I know that God wants my heart and I want him to be the ruler of my heart because I can trust him with my heart because he's good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's the next word. I want my children, you might say this, I want my children to know what it means to apply God's principles. This has to do with wisdom and discernment. Life application of spiritual truths that they're hearing and learning from you, from their devotion books, from their times at church, when they go to kids camp. More than just having Bible facts in their head, it's that step of like, how do I apply this to my life? How do I understand this? This is that wisdom piece. One of the things we'd always ask our kids growing up is not necessarily what's the right thing or the wrong thing to do. We'd say, hey, what's the wise thing? What do you think wisdom would want you to do in this situation? Not what you feel like doing, but what's the wise thing to do? Kids need to understand, I need to do the wise thing. And that comes through discernment and learning to understand how to apply the truth to their life. In all your ways, acknowledge. Acknowledge. What does that mean? That means in all your ways, acknowledge him. When they're younger, acknowledge him when it comes to sharing your toys. Acknowledge him when it comes to taking a test that you're really stressed out about. Acknowledge him when you begin to start thinking about the opposite sex and dating and things of that nature. Acknowledge him as they start thinking about their career path. And then after they're out from your umbrella, you want to have set them up to be able to acknowledge him, to look to him in every other area of their life, in their marriage, in their finances, as they begin to raise their own children someday. They talks about, the Proverbs writer talks about, and he will make your paths straight. He will make your path straight. That's that vision for the future. Helping your kids to understand God has a purpose, God has a plan, God has a path for you. How often do you talk about that? You're like, well, my kids too. I get that. They won't be two forever. And they'll be 12 before you know it. And they'll be 22 not long after that. So the more you can talk about God's path, God's plan, God has a purpose for you, the better. But you got to do this with some intentionality. And we need to pray, God, help me along the way. Here's the second question. We'll move through this one quickly. Ask yourself, where are they now? See, the first question, where do I want them to go? Who do I want them to become, right? Has to be asked first. But then, where are they now? This is not easy. Okay, I'm not telling you something that you can look at a chart to consult. There's not a test that you can put in front of them to determine this is where you're at spiritually right now. In our kids' spiritual journey, we must do a couple things. Number one, we must pray, right? But then we can use our instincts. Parents, you have parental instinct. You can use your gut to try to think about, this is where I think they're at right now, and this is what I think I need to focus on. This is where they're deficient in their journey. This is where they're strong. I need to celebrate their strength, and I need to continue to work on some other areas in their life that need to be addressed. And again, this is hard, which takes me all the way back to the pace of life. And some of you are listening to me say all this, and you're thinking, you're just giving me one more thing to do in my calendar. I can't even get my kid to practice on time, and you're wanting me to think about them in these kind of terms? Quit the stinking sport. Eliminate the lessons. Do what you have to do so that you can begin to think about what's going to matter for them when they're 22. You got to do it. You have to do it. Your kid's future is riding on it. And so when you think about the spiritual direction of your kids and it overwhelms you because you think about all the other things that you need to do, eliminate some other things. One way or another, figure it out. I love you too much to not tell you that. Because we live in a culture, we live in a world that always is going to want you to keep the pedal down. And you got to resist it. You got to take your foot off the pedal. Slow down. And think about where your kids are at and where you want them to go. I mean, again, think about what I said about their spiritual or about their physical safety. It would be an issue. You would want to know, again, if your child got lost in the mall, you'd want to know where they are. Why don't you do the same thing spiritually? Knowing where they are. Have they crossed the line of faith? Are they ready to publicly acknowledge Christ through baptism? Are they in a place where they need to learn how to pray out loud with you? Are they in a place where they need to begin to open the scriptures in a very simple, you know, kind of kid-friendly, age-appropriate way? Do they need to learn to seek forgiveness? And do they know what repentance means? And all of those things are age-appropriate seasons, but you've got to be ahead of the curve. Where are they now? The more you crank up the dial in their life when it comes to their relationship with God, the more it will pay off in the future. Somewhere down the road, I promise you, it will pay off. And then one last question is, how can I help them take the next step? How can I help them to take the next step? We've shared some resources with you the last couple of weeks. I have another one for you from Parent Q. If you're not on the Parent Q app, please download the Parent Q. If you don't want it on your phone, get on your laptop or on your desktop and go to parentqcue.org and get to know that resource. One of the resources that they have on their website that I just downloaded looks like this. I think I have a slide. There you go. which is kind of small up there even. It's not that huge here, but it's you can. I blew it up as much as I could. But basically, this is like a year by year. Like they've said through their years of expertise, learning how to know and discern what your children might need at different stages of life. I've got copies of this up in the front that you can come up at the end and pick it up and go home and go, okay, that my kids in second grade, this is some things that they, the experts, have said that my children should be thinking about and be able to do and engage in, and I haven't taken that step. As a matter of fact, I need to go back to a couple of years and kind of start building from there. I encourage you parents to grab one of these. Right? But once you define where do I want them to go, where they're at now, begin to think about how can I help them to take the next step. And again, for preschoolers, it might be learning to share. It might be obeying the first time. It might be just learning the Bible stories that we all know so well. You understand those are first time that your kid hears about Noah. There's a first time that your kid will hear about Daniel. There's a first time that they will hear about Moses. And parents, please, I'm happy that we can teach that to them, but wouldn't it be cool if you were the first ones to introduce them to Bible stories? Can be. What's stopping you? I got ball practice that I got to get them to. I got to get them to their tumbling class. I don't got time for that. I'll just let the church do that. You are missing the boat. As they move to elementary ages, have they crossed the line of faith, right? We've talked about this already. As they get a little bit older, middle school, they're beginning to deal with temptation. What can you do to help them? What are the signs and signals that you are beginning to see that says, hey, we need to start having some of those kinds of conversations? As they get to high school, again, teaching them that the value of personal faith, personal ministry, personal responsibility in their faith journey. Again, it's up to you as a parent to know where they're at and what they need next. Because you are the most consistent influence that they have. You're the most consistent influence that they have. I love to be an influence on families, but we are 1 hour a week. For some, 1 hour every couple of weeks. For some, 1 hour a month, depending on where you're at in your journey. You are the consistent one. And one day, parents, we will witness the results of our labor. The time and energy that we spent laying the foundation and helping to advance our children's relationship with God will show up in the life of your child. And what that might look like in every kid's life is a little bit different, but it will show up. And parents, one day, you will feel something because of your child. Just think about it. One day you will feel something. Who they become will influence you. One day, because of what you're doing now, you may feel regret. You may experience fear. You may feel hurt, maybe even some pain. Or one day you may feel a tremendous sense of joy and satisfaction as you watch your son or your daughter transition into adulthood, taking with them a faith that has made and will continue to make a difference because you chose to make it the number one, this matters most priority in their life. Parents, I guess what I'm really getting at is today, you might need to be more honest about your relationship with God than thinking about your kids' relationship with God. In my life, in your life, our lives, we will never be able to influence our kids' walk with God any further than we've traveled. And if we haven't started traveling, journeying in our own faith journey, we'll never take our kids to some place we've never been. And so today, as the worship team comes, I want to challenge us to do something as parents. Those of you that are parents, those of you that know parents, I want to challenge you to do a couple things. Number one, if you want a copy of this, just to kind of get a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of where kids might be or ought to be or can be as they progress through all of the different years, great. I encourage you to check out that resource. The information that's in the sheet is also in the Parenting Through the Phases that I introduced last week. I encourage you to get those, use them. But I want to encourage you as parents to pray. To just, again, I'm not a guilt manipulating, like, let's all come to the altar. But listen, if there's anything that should cause us to want to just come and get on our knees and pray, it should be our kids. So I want to invite you to, during our response time, to come and grab, you know, one of these. And then if you feel like you want to, or if you would, just come and kneel and just spend a few minutes to saying, God, here's where we're at. Here's where my kids are at. Help us. Help me. We want to get this thing right. You only get one shot. No do-overs when it comes to raising our kids. And if you're a grandparent, let me just say this in a loving way. Your role is not to parent your grandkids unless through some circumstances you're called and tasked with that. We asked last week about questions. Submit some questions about parenting. Half of the questions that came in were about, what do I do when my parents are overbearing with me as I'm trying to raise my kids? So my best advice to you as a grandparent, if you're a grandparent, maintain a seat of influence by letting go of control. Your kids don't need you to tell them how you did it when they were kids, unless they ask. If they ask, that's another story. But even when they ask, clarify it. So you're asking me to tell you what I think about how you're doing X, Y, or Z, just to make sure you want that. Yes, Mom, yes, Dad. Okay, I'm going to tell you. But take the posture of, you want to maintain influence, so take your hands off. And that's free. I don't know why I said that. I was saddened that that was the biggest question that people had about parenting, is how do I get my parents to get off my back about how I'm raising my kids? So, and again, there's no nuance to that response, but I wanted to at least put that out into the environment today. So we encourage you to respond. Let me pray, and then you do whatever God's called you to do. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And God, again, we want to be a church that helps families, that helps parents, that provides hope and encouragement and resources, tools, whatever it is that we can do to help parents, not replace them, but help them in the challenging task of raising kids today. We love you, Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and you respond as God is calling you.